Very special greetings to this group and to those who will be watching the video presentation later. I'd like to start this time together by turning to the book of Psalms, and in Psalm 116, just a couple of verses. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. O Lord, surely I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. To thee I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people. And we're here together to mutually make vows and commitments, first of all to the Lord, secondly to one another, and in a third way, in a very special way, a commitment to the man that God has chosen as our new general director, and to listen to his commitment to us as he receives this charge in this commissioning service. It's a privilege to be here. It's a very historic moment for us, and we are pleased at the way God has so clearly guided and directed us. Now let's take our hymn books, if you will, and turn to number 658. 658. This is a song that has become in some ways one of the theme songs of the Navigators, because it speaks so clearly of the commission that we have received from the Lord and to which we have given ourselves and continue to make uppermost in our thinking. O Zion, haste, thy mission high fulfilling. Zion, haste, thy mission high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is might, that he who made all nations is not willing, one soul should perish, lost in shades of night.
What a privilege it is for me to
come to this stage in life and after these years, the privilege of leading the Navigators, now to find that God has chosen a successor in Jerry White, and to be able to participate in this commissioning service is something that Lucy and I just have such deep, unwavering peace and great joy. And I would like to read for Jerry the same passage that was read to me 30 years ago. And I would like to pass along to Jerry, as we pass along the responsibility, also what God has said about one who carries that responsibility. And may this passage in its entirety be true of you as well. And it's in Joshua, the first chapter, the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving it to them, to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Shall we pray together? From the beginning of time, when our redemption was planned, this day was foreseen. And we have had the privilege, and do have it in our generation, serving that generation according to the will of God. We come and we go, but you endure and you are forever. And as you bury your servants or put them into other responsibilities, you carry on your work. And now you have shown us that you would like Jerry White to lead us in this ministry. Lord, we ask you to put your hand upon him. And for this dedication and commissioning service, to speak to all of us right here in this room, as we would rededicate our own selves and those who might later watch this high moment, that the Spirit of God might in turn speak to them as well, that there may be continuous, full, and surrender to the will of our God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank Kathy White Gray for being here to play the piano for us. Kathy is Mary and Jerry's daughter, married to Skip Gray's son, and we're delighted she could be with us. Many years ago, here in this same auditorium, could have been 1953 or 4, just after I came around the Navigators, I sang a song, and it became one of Dawson's favorites. I hadn't thought about that. I didn't pick it for that reason. I picked it because I think it says something that we all would affirm. And it has to do with the fact that the gospel message must still be taken to many, many people. That's God's mission. And it's His commission to us. And as you listen to the words of this song, let it be a reminder of our commitment. Along the shores of Galilee, when Christ 5,000 fed, not one was omitted. In the breaking of the bread, today they die in heathen lands, they die in want and dread, for they have been omitted in the breaking of the bread. Lord, I would give them the bread of life, the living water too. My heart cries out, oh, here am I, ready thy will to do. Long years have passed, and few have heard that Jesus Christ has bled, that they might feed on Him who died to be that living bread. To gods of stone and wood they cry, yet they are never fed, for they have been omitted in the breaking of the bread. Lord, I would give them the bread of life, the living water too. My heart cries out, oh, here am I, ready thy
have been so privileged through the years to have the ministry of George Sanchez in song, and thank you so much, George. Dr. Howard Hendricks, professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, has been a long-time friend, has ministered to Navigators around the world, and it's been a great privilege to have him on our board of directors for a number of years, and how he is going to come and bring the charge to Jerry and Mary as they enter into this new responsibility. Howie?
It's Soft societies do not produce strong leaders. Never in the history of mankind has leadership been more desperately needed and more critically absent. Leaders are fast becoming a vanishing breed. I define a leader as a person who knows where he's going and is able to persuade others to go along with him. In other words, he has clear-cut objectives and he is able to motivate others. But that could apply to a non-Christian as well as a Christian leader. From a Christian perspective, the objectives must be biblical. And the motivation must be spiritual. For years, I have been searching the Word of God to find a passage that I believe blends these two concepts, clear-cut objectives and spiritual motivation. And I think I found it. It's a verse that I expect most of you have committed to memory. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. This is a commissioning service for Jerry and Mary White. And I want to talk specifically to them. But in order not to make it impolite, I am inviting you to listen in. Because I'm really talking to you as well as to myself. We constitute a team. The board, the INC, the staff, everybody committed to the same objective, a biblical objective of making disciples, is involved in the process. And in order to personalize it, I would like to put it in the form of three questions. I believe these three questions are the ultimate bottom line. The first question, it seems to me that Paul is challenging you with, Jerry, along with the rest of us, is the Lord well pleased? And he does it in these words, do your best, make it your aim to present yourself to God as one approved. I think the most jarring realization came to me early on in ministry, that it was possible to be eminently successful with men and a total failure with God. That it's possible to win the applaud of even the Christian community and be totally out to lunch. There are only two groups of people, those who are approved and those who are ashamed. And those who are approved have one objective, ultimately, and that's to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Man is the only creature that you can pat on the back and his head swells up. And I have gone, as most of you who have been involved in ministry, into things that were so far beyond me, and I was so desperate, and I cried out to God and got a group of people to undergird the ministry in prayer. Man, pray for me, or I've had it. And God moves in until I'm ministering way beyond my competency. Afterwards, people say, man, Hendricks, incredible, fantastic. And I say, well, you know, I'm a gifted man. Because this is our tendency. Three times over in the Gospels, I read those remarkable words. This is my beloved Son in whom I find all of my delight. He's the model. And you ask, why was that true? Well, we really don't know until we come to the book of Hebrews, when we find that before Jesus Christ invaded our planet, he paused on the threshold of heaven and said, "Lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will." Christ delighted in doing the Father's will, and the Father said, "I delight in my Son." We're not called to be flattered, Jerry, but to be faithful. And if we are going to be leaders, we've got to ask the question, are we thermostats or thermometers? Thermometers only record temperature. Thermostats determine it. Am I a catalyst or am I a chameleon? Do I change according to the environment, or am I a change element in the sphere in which God has called me? The second question, is the work well done? The first question demands a passion for a person, and the second question demands a passion for excellence. So the text says, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. I've been meditating on this for years to ask, why will I be ashamed? And I would like to suggest for at least two reasons I am convinced. One is because I operated without standards, aiming too low. The anything is good enough for God kind of mentality. And it seems to me that evangelicalism today is plagued with a mania of mediocrity. And in taking over the leadership of this most effective tool and instrument that God has used, I challenge you to excellence. It's always been characteristic of your life, Jerry, but make it the passion of this organization. We're working for God, and nothing less than the best we've got to offer is consonant with that commitment. I am a great admirer of Michelangelo, but a number of years ago I came across a story that gave me a clue to his life. All of us know about Michelangelo, very few of us know about Bertoldo, his teacher. Bertoldo, the great teacher that he was, knew that most gifted people tend to ride on their abilities. They're so much better without doing anything when compared with others. And he watched Michelangelo as he'd piddle with a statuary in the studio, and he kept warning him. But the warnings were ignored. One day he walked in, picked up a sledgehammer, took a piece of statuary he was working on, and batted that thing into 1,000 pieces. And as they ricocheted all over the studio, he was heard to shout, "Michelangelo, talent is cheap. Dedication is costly." And I think that's what God is calling each of us to dedicate ourselves to, a fresh commitment to high standards. But I think we'll not only be ashamed because we're operating without standards, I think we'll also be ashamed because we're operating without sacrifice. We're not only aiming too low, it's costing too little. Favorite incident of mine out of the life of David, a model for all of us in leadership, is in 2 Samuel chapter 24. The children of Israel were dying like flies. David came to the high priest and said, "What shall we do?" He said, "David, you better offer up sacrifices." And so David ends up outside of the property of a man by the name of Araunah. He looks out the flaps of his tent, the king is here with all of his entourage, blows him away. He comes out and says, David, what can I do for you? He says, well, I'd like to buy a piece of property. You, the king, would like to buy a piece of property? You've got to be kidding. No way. I'll give you the property. I'll give you the utensils. I'll give you everything you need. David said, no, you won't. And in verse 24 of chapter 24, he makes one of the most remarkable statements that ever fell from his lips. He said, neither will I offer unto the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing. David knew that the service that counts is the service that costs. And if we're going to make an impact for Jesus Christ through the Navigators worldwide, it's not available in a bargain basement sale. The costs are high. Here's a third question I'd like to press upon us, and particularly upon you, Jerry and Mary. And that is the word well used? And that involves a passion for truth. Honesty is adherence to truth, and truth is a return to reality. And that's why Paul says, one who correctly handles the word of truth. It's a fascinating word. It means to cut straight. Used by a stonemason, cutting stones for an exquisite building. Of a farmer plowing straight furrows. Used of an engineer cutting a road through difficult terrain, highly forested area. Cut it straight. The objective is there, and we are here. Move in that direction. And I think this calls for what we need to see more of throughout the Navigators, and that is more innovative, more creative, more aggressive leadership in terms of our goals. And it's always related to the word of truth. Not only knowing the truth, not only experiencing the truth in my life, but sharing it with others. Alan Emery, one-time chairman of the board of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, wrote an intriguing book called A Turtle on a Fence Post. It comes from the experience that he had with Bob Lamont, pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh many years ago. And Alan was so impressed with the humility of Bob and the fact that he was not overly impressed either with who he was or what he was doing, that he said, Bob, how come? And Bob said, well, Alan, you need to understand that when I was a boy, we used to go to the country. And one of the most exciting experiences was taking a walk out through the woods. And often we'd go by a farm with a fence, with all of its characteristic fence posts. And every now and then we'd see a turtle on the top of one of those fence posts. And we could automatically conclude, somebody put it there. It never got there by itself. And when God takes you, answering the ultimate questions, is the Lord well pleased? Is the work well done? Is the word well used? You'll never be able to say, I did it. It will be, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. You cannot exalt yourself and Jesus Christ at the same time, Jerry, Mary. You're going to have to make up your mind. Who's on first? And you couldn't have a more supportive team who together with you are called to answer the same ultimate question. God bless you.
Thank you, Holly, for that charge to Jerry and Mary that we all take to heart for ourselves. It was well over 50 years ago that God used Dawson and Lila Trotman to begin the Ministry of the Navigators. And what a wonderful heritage we have. And when Dawson was 50, the Lord took him home while he was rescuing someone else from drowning. And it's so fitting that his widow and Lila Trotman is with us here this morning to lead us in a prayer of dedication and commissioning for Jerry and Mary White as Jerry assumes this responsibility. So, Jerry and Mary, if you would come up and just kneel right here, please, and Lila, we'll have you come up here and stand behind this platform right there. And then I know we can't all, but those, some of you that we spoke to, would you come up and we'll lay hands on them as Lila prays this prayer of commissioning and anointing from the Lord.
Our Father and our God, what a moment in Christendom, and what a moment in the history of the Navigators. We praise your holy name, dear Father, for Jerry and Mary White, and that way back there, years ago, you knew that this moment would be coming, and how you have prepared their lives and their hearts. And in bringing them together as one, and then giving to them their precious children and a precious daughter-in-law. And Father, we want to praise your name for your faithfulness. And we truly do find it new every morning, and great it is. And Father, we dedicate anew Jerry and Mary to your keeping. And may every day be sweeter than the day before. May they take it a step at a time and a day at a time. And Father, I pray that you would teach them very early in their times alone with you in prayer to pray for preparation for the unexpected things that will take place in their lives. They will come. And as long as we have people, we're reminded that we'll have problems, but we'll take the problems because we want the people. And Father, give to this a couple what they've already asked you for. And that's their lives. They've rededicated them, I'm sure, to you, to use them as you see best. And I would like to share, Father, a portion of your holy word in perhaps my own terminology. And we together want to ask this for this couple. Jerry and Mary, always remember that God created you and that he called you. And that he redeemed you. He not only called you, but he called you by your name. And he said, "You're mine." Just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. And then, since you are precious in his sight, dear ones, you've been honorable, and he's giving to you the desire of your heart. And that is that from the north and the east and the south and the west, he'll give men for your life and people, men and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will gather them, he says, from the east, and I'll say to the north, give up. And he will bring his daughters from the far corners. And he'll do that, Jerry and Mary. And always remember that, and again he reminds us that he created you and he called you, and today his seal of approval is on your life and lives, and it's an awesome moment for every one of us in this room. And we praise you, Father, so much for the love that this couple have for each other. And their marriage is an example to all of us. And their walk has been an example. And yet we know they aren't perfect. And so we pray, Father, for those things that they secretly talk to you about, that you will perfect that which concerns them. And dear hearts, let none of these things move you. And neither count your life dear unto yourselves, that you might finish your course with joy. And that's presenting the claims of the living God. And today we say hallelujah, dear Lord Jesus. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts that this is your doings, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen.
I'd like to invite us again to take our hymn books. And this time we'll turn to number 458. At the beginning, we read a passage from the Psalms in which the concept of making our vows before the people and before God was mentioned. And I would like to suggest, as we sing this well-known hymn, that we take a moment, perhaps in just a moment I'll ask Kathy to play through a verse, and let us read these words. And as we sing the song, what I would like to invite you to do, if there is a phrase that speaks or has spoken to you, that God has spoken to you, even in these moments together, of some area that you feel you would like to make a new vow, a new commitment to him, as we sing through that phrase, just stand to your feet and then sit again, and we'll continue singing the rest of it. And there may be more than one place that you want to stand up. And this will be a demonstration on our part of our joining Mary and Jerry as they have made this very real commitment and a new level of consecration of their lives, and we'll join them as we sing this. Kathy, if you'd play through it one time while we just read the words to ourselves. Sing it slowly and give opportunity for you to respond to the phrases.
Take my life and feet and let is for thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my love.
Just before we conclude our time together, I'd like Jerry and Mary to come up here, please, and to share any remarks that you would like to.
This has been a very, very meaningful and joyful time for us. And you'll have to pardon me if I can't do this very well. We are really grateful that God has called and that it's been so clearly that it's been of Him rather than some group of people who just came to do something. And since I know this will be seen by many staff, I think the thing that has given us such deep peace is that the staff worldwide have been praying and fasting, and we just sense that being uplifted. I also want to say that the task and the job would be absolutely impossible if it were not for the staff. I mean, what would you lead? And I particularly am grateful for the deep sense of personal commitment of the team that is gathered here. And that we are really in it together. I think the only verse that I would share is the one that Bob Hayes shared this morning, which the Lord has impressed on me during this time, Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And Mary and I commit together before you that we will do that as God enables. It can't be done in the flesh. We just simply make the commitment before you and before the staff to serve and to be used however He wants.
Our theme for these last few days as we've engaged in this process is in Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we have prayed many times that God would help us to do what's right, with peace in our hearts and a smile on our faces. And we believe that it's right, and we have peace in our hearts and great joy as we commend to all of our staff around the world, Mary and Jerry White. You have our hearts and our prayers. And all the people to that should say,
Amen.